praise the name of the Lord. I think it's good when we are scattered that way, so you know when you're preaching from here, it looks like the church is full. I'd like to just mention this before I forget, that if you are an eligible voter and you've not registered, register and exercise your constitutional right. Praise the Lord. If you are an eligible voter, please register and exercise your right to vote. It's not part of the sermon. That's why I want you to get, take care of it. You may talk, so that's out of the way. You know, as the worship was going on, I was just feeling the Lord leading us in a direction that I'm not sure that that's where I travailed to. But sometimes it's good to just let the Spirit of God direct you, because I think that's where He wants us to be. But before I even proceed much on that, probably I just want to ask one question. What is in a name? You know, maybe the name that you have. Actually, why don't you ask your neighbor, what's in a name? What's in your name? Yeah. So you have a name. So, I mean, and I was asking myself about the same thing. And today, I want us to study. Today is going to be more of a study to be able to understand what is in the name of Jesus. Have you ever asked yourself, every time you pray and you conclude the prayer, it's in the name of? Oh, you have people in the house today. So every time you pray, you're praying and you're saying it is in the name of Jesus. And then I think as people evolve, they now say in your name. And I think it's dangerous to pray in your name, because whose name is it that you're praying in? I want to identify the person. And today, if we understand why we pray in the name of Jesus, probably then when we pray, we will not be omitting that name and saying, in your name. Because your name could be in Sam's name. In your name could be in anybody's name. But when I specify and say, in Jesus' name I pray, then maybe there is a connotation. Maybe there is something that is delivered when I say, in the name of Jesus. No other name than the name of Jesus. No other name but the name of the Lord. No other name but the name of Jesus is worthy of glory and worthy of honor and worthy of power and all praise. No other name but the name of Jesus. No other name but the name of the Lord. No other name but the name of Jesus is worthy of glory and worthy of honor and worthy of power and all praise. Sometimes we carelessly mutter, in Jesus' name. Have you ever had those conversations? People are just engaged in a conversation and suddenly somebody just says, in Jesus' name. And if you ask that person, so what did you actually mean when you said in Jesus' name? It is part of the conversation. It's part of the rhetorics that we've gotten ourselves involved in and indulged in without making meaning. It's because Christianity has become more of a lifestyle than a changed life. It's because the way that we converse, the way we talk, we think that that's what makes us to be Christians, rather than the change that is inside our hearts. Am I talking to somebody today? What about when we say amen? That was the other word that I wanted to ask. When we say amen, what do we really mean? Are we just saying amen because it's a good word? Is because it's a good Christian word to use? Are we saying amen because we are saying, so let it be? Are we understanding what we are saying when we say amen and when we say in the name of Jesus? And I do hope that by the end of these next 15, 20 minutes, you know I don't keep you long. So if your neighbor sleeps, just ask him, nikuamshe sangapi? But I hope that you'll be able to get something out of that. But quickly, I want to go to Luke chapter 10 and verses 30 to 37. This is a passage that you all know very well. It's about the Good Samaritan. Let me paraphrase it for you. So these people come to Jesus, and Jesus is replying to them in a parable. And he says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. The first one was a priest. And then the second one was a Levite. When he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. The third one, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Verse 35, and the next day he took 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. So three things I want you to notice there quickly, and then it will provide a segue for us to move to the section I want us to go to. The first thing is the person who came there passing by the injured person was a Levite. So this is a tribe that has been set aside to worship God. These are family of priests. This is somebody who was from the time that they are born, you are born into a priestly family. So they are godly people. But when he sees the person that is injured, decides to walk by the side and pass him. The second one is actually a priest. He's somebody who has been set aside to serve God. Somebody who has already been set aside. But he sees the injured person and says, oh my God, that person, he has really been hit. But then the third person who comes is a Samaritan person. Now, where Jesus was at this particular time, the Samaritans were basically foreigners. The Samaritans were people who were, how do I explain this? Maybe like the Shiites and the Sunnis, that's easier to understand. People of one nation yet separated, yet divided. So the Samaritans were not among the very wealthy. They are like the ones who had come to invade the Israel, the lower part of Israel. And so when they come down there and they're not wanted, they're like being rejected. I mean, what are you guys doing here? Rudini kwenu, go back to where you came from. They are foreigners, they are aliens, yet from one nation. And so when the Samaritan comes, he sees a person of that nation who has been injured, who has been hurt. He's bleeding, and probably the person is going to die. But this Samaritan says, there is no way I can pass this person and let him to die. I'll do what I need to do. And so goes on, and before taking him to the inn, goes up and binds up his wounds, pours oil on him and wine, cleans him up, puts him on the beast, and takes him to the inn and took care of him. You know, kunywa maji, you know, are you feeling better now? Are you okay now? Relax now. Don't move. You know, you'll be fine. And it looks like this person was seriously injured because he was going to stay in the inn. He was actually going to be admitted in the inn for a couple of days. We don't know. But this Samaritan person goes and tells the innkeeper, keep him. And if you incur any more bill, it's on me. Now that's the part I want you to get. That first of all, he's a Samaritan, he's an alien, he's a foreigner. And the second thing, he signs his bill, if you like, to a nationality, a person of that nationality, and says, whatever you're going to use on this person, charge it on me. It's on my account. I'll take care of it. And then I pose a question and I ask, so why does the innkeeper then believe this Samaritan person, who is first of all an alien and a foreigner? You'd have said, why should I even believe you? I mean, you're a foreigner, you're a Kenyan, you're Nigerian, you are from Kosovo, or wherever you come from. How can I believe you? But that was not the conversation. The innkeeper doesn't say anything. We are not told anything about the innkeeper. All that we know is like it's a deal. And the person goes his way, and he leaves the sick person there. I want to suggest to you that one of the reasons why the Samaritan was able to put his name to the bill or to the account at the inn was because he was a person of good reputation. He was a person who had lived well, and I believe that it was not probably the first time for him to be serviced in that inn. It must have been a place that he was going, you know, several times. And maybe he had, you know, the innkeeper knew him very well. So seeing him again, he says, "Oh, you come, oh, you have got a visitor today." So there was a kind of a relationship between the two of them. And because there was an existing relationship, whatever he would have asked of the innkeeper, he would have been given. Whatever he would have asked, he would have been given. Because the innkeeper knew him. Don't forget that, because we'll get into that in a different way further down. He had a relationship with the innkeeper. But the others, who were supposed to be the nationalities, people of the same nationality, they couldn't wait there. They couldn't sit there. They couldn't wait. They couldn't serve this person. They couldn't serve this person. He was probably a man of character, a man of his word. And you know what? There was something in his name. There was something that the innkeeper could peg on and say, "This one can't let me down. I have dealt with him before." Am I talking to somebody today? If your neighbor is asleep, just ask them, "Mpaka sangapi?" So let me just ask ourselves and pose a reflection and ask, how do people know you? How is your reputation? You don't have to answer. Don't ask anybody. Just I'm asking you, so just deal with it. How is your reputation? You know, when people talk about Julius, you know, what do they say? You know, please don't answer me. They're not good things. But if they are good, I can tell you, you know. But what is the reputation that we have? What is the reputation that we reflect when people see us? When in our dealings, what is the reflection that people have about us? Are we dependable? Can you rely on me? Can I rely on you? Do I take advantage over people? Do you take advantage? Do you take advantage over me, over you, over others? And as a parent, what are we teaching our children? To be manipulative? To manipulate? To be manipulated? What are we teaching our children? And probably as you're listening to me, you're just sitting back and saying, "This, I don't care what people talk about me. I'm just who I am. That's the way I was made. But trust me, a day is coming. A day is coming in your lifetime. And you'll wish that you had a good reputation." But that's not the point of my message. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus says to the disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." That's a big declaration. It's a major declaration. Here is a man, like I, standing in front of me, and I declare that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Let's break that a little bit and see what it means. It says authority. Usually authority goes with power. Authority goes with influence. Authority cannot be challenged. And that's why sometimes you find a lot of people getting into problems with the law, because they challenge authority. Authority cannot be challenged. There are consequences if you challenge authority. Authority comes with power. It means then that in heaven and on earth, nothing can function. Nothing can function without Jesus. Without the authority of Jesus. That is how authoritative he is. That is how much authority, rather, he has. Nothing can operate, can function in heaven. Let's put it another way. Anything happening in heaven or anything happening here on earth, he has the capacity to influence it. Anything happening here on earth. Now, for those of you who are Bible scholars, you'll be saying, what about when stuff happens to bad things happen to good people and so on? What happens? Where is Jesus that time? But he says, I think in John chapter 14, he says, whatsoever you ask in my name, I shall do it for you. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I shall do it for you. So this is where I want to take us. I want to take us into a place where we can be able to understand what is in this name of Jesus. So that next time when you use this name, so that when we pray, so that when we look at our situations and our circumstances, we can say, that name has power. That name has authority. That name has the capacity to dissolve and take over my situation. that name of Jesus is not an ordinary name. That is where I want us to be able to reach in the next 5-10 minutes. So what else is in the name of Jesus? In the name of Jesus, we find salvation. And we find this in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, Paul says, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is something about this name of Jesus. It appears to me that this name of Jesus, the mere declaration of that name of Jesus, something starts to happening in the supernatural. It is not like my name. Julius, okay, maybe you're just two of us. Then what happens? Nothing. But when you mention the name of Jesus, it appears to me that something supernatural starts taking effect immediately. In the name of Jesus, we are told in Acts chapter 4 and verse 30, there is healing. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, there is healing. In the name of Jesus, we, you and I, are justified, just as if we had never sinned. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. In the name of Jesus, there is something. There is just something about that name. There is something about that name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the devil is defeated, or demons flee. We are told in Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, the 70 returned with joy, the 70 disciples that had been sent out to go to do some ministry, outreach work. When they came back, they were rejoicing, and they were saying, Lord, in your name, even the demons, they submitted to us. They were so happy. The demons fled. They fled. They couldn't resist the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, there is something about that name. That the very presence of that name, the mere pronunciation of the name of Jesus, even if there are demons surrounding or playing around in that place, they start trembling and they cannot stay in that place. They have to go somewhere else where the name of Jesus is not being mentioned. And then finally, in the name of Jesus, we receive whatever we ask. John chapter 14 verse 13. I will do, Jesus says, I will do whatever you ask. Whatever you ask. In my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I will do for you whatever you ask. Whatever you ask in my name. Whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified. So what does it mean then to ask in the name of Jesus? It means we can trust that name to deliver what it promises to deliver. If that name promises to deliver salvation, then I'm going to pronounce that name of Jesus from my mouth, because what comes from my mouth is what is coming from my heart, and I know I will receive that salvation. It means that I can trust the name of Jesus to bring healing where there is need for healing. When I pronounce healing or the need for healing, it means that I will receive that healing. It means that we can trust that name to deliver justification. It means that we can trust that name to deliver whatever it is that we ask for, as long as we peg it on the name of Jesus. It means that we can trust in that name for the devil to flee or to move away from our homes, or from our lives, or from any influence in our lives. And so, friends, I want to tell you today that it does not matter what your situation looks like, whatever situation it is in your life. It really doesn't matter. It does not matter how the circumstances appear today, how things look so negative, how things don't seem to be together, how you seem so helpless and hopeless. It really does not matter. It really doesn't matter what the doctor said. It doesn't matter what the report said, what the x-ray said. Well, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your bank is testifying about you. It really doesn't matter. To me, what matters right now, at this point in time, is that how am I going to deal with that situation? There is one thing I know, and probably know by now, that in the name of Jesus there is power. That there is something about that name that I really can't be able to explain it to you. There really is something about that name. How is it that this one name of Jesus can bring healing? How is it that this one name of Jesus can bring deliverance? How is it that this same name of Jesus can bring justification? How is it that this one name of Jesus can make demons flee? There is something about that name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I just can't figure it out. There is something about the name of Jesus. Friends, it matters what name you're using. It matters what name you're using. If your name is just blank, I challenge you to fill that blank with the name of Jesus. Because there is something about that name. If you put my name right there, I will just be famous and known. If you put the name of Jesus, there are so many things that are going to happen in your life. I don't know what you've tried and what you have not. You know, desperate people do desperate things. I read once in an article that a man who is drowning, or a human who is drowning, they will grasp at anything, including a matchstick, because it looks, oh, this thing is going to save me. Anything. Desperate people in desperate times do desperate things. But let the desperate thing today be calling on the name of Jesus. Let that be. You're desperate. I have no answer. You've sought answers from people, and yet what you're hearing is just rhetoric. It doesn't make any sense anymore. I challenge you today that call on the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus, and there is something else that I don't know what it is. There is something else in the name of Jesus that is beyond words. It's beyond my explanation, and this is maybe just what we know. We could have spent the whole afternoon talking about the things that are in the name of Jesus. But how is that going to help us? All that we can say, there is something about the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus has authority on earth, in heaven. It has a value that does not expire. Most amazingly though, I may have a very good name. I may have a very good reputation, Jimmy. But here is the point. It has an expiry period. Because if I mess up my credits 1 year down the line, then they say, Julius Gani, the same Julius, he's finished. Our record, our name, they are temporary. But the name of Jesus, it never ends. It never ends. The value that the same Jesus who healed over 2,000 years ago, still heals today in 2016. The same Jesus who rescues. The same Jesus who rescued 2,000 years ago, he still does the same business even today. There is something about that name, and it never grows old. It never grows old. It's that name that saved the man who was involved in a road accident on I-30, and the car burst into flames. People struggled to remove him from the vehicle, and it was almost bursting. It was almost burning out. A praying saint who was there taking a video with her cell phone kept on calling on the name of Jesus until the driver was removed from that burning vehicle unscathed. It is that name that saved a sister a couple of weeks ago with her children from a speeding vehicle rear-ending them and landing on their roof, leaving them shaken but unscathed. Is that name that reverses doctor's observation and what was seen ceases to be. They see things inside there. They say, I don't know how this happened. We need to do this. But when you go back again, we don't know what happened. It is a name that brings hope in the midst of hopelessness. There is something about that name. And it's not magic, friends. There is something about the name of Jesus. If you've not been using the name of Jesus, here's the thing. My father was not very wealthy. But he was wealthy enough to feed us and to, you know, shape me to be the man that I am today. But if you're looking for somebody to countersign you for a loan, please don't look for Julius, Mwangi, because we can't do that. But there are other people who have a good name. They have a good family name. When you go to them and say, this is the assistance that I want, this is not a big deal. I'll talk to my dad. I'll talk to my dad about that. Because they have a good name. So my transformation came to my life. Because when Jesus comes into your life then you have the name of Jesus. Then you can use the name of Jesus regardless. So what is the problem? Oh, this credit, I'll talk to Jesus. I'll talk to Jesus about it. Because you know what, friends? There is something about that name of Jesus. You invoke that name of Jesus, and I am telling you, things will no longer be the same. Now, I'm declaring things that I believe in. I cannot say things that I do not believe in. But I know from the very depths of my heart that there is something in that name of Jesus. And it is beyond healing. It is beyond delivering. It is beyond financing. It's beyond those things that we can see with our human eyes. It's beyond that. There is just something else. In other words, you cannot exhaust the things that Jesus can do for you. You cannot exhaust it. So you come to Jesus with anything. You don't even have to tell anybody. You remember, I am always the one who will declare this to you and tell you that you don't need a media. You don't need to go through anybody. If you believe what the name of Jesus can do for you, you can go and call the name anytime you want. Mess it up. Call it, you know, as you're sleeping. In the name of Jesus, take over. Take over this family in the name of Jesus. Take over my finances in the name of Jesus. Continue. Because in the name of, there is something that happens. Sometimes you may not see it with your supernatural, but something happens. Something is happening. There is something about that name of Jesus. That name of Jesus is credit worthy. That name of Jesus has power. That name of Jesus, there is something about it that I confess, I don't know what it is. But there is something about that name of Jesus. It doesn't matter where you are in life today, friends. It really doesn't matter where you are in life today. There is a lifeline, the name of Jesus. There is a lifeline, the name of Jesus. I challenge you, don't allow yourself to be frustrated. Just call on the name of Jesus. I would rather you call on the name of Jesus and say it failed. But call on the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus can bring a difference in your life. For those of you who know me, you know that I love the Bill Gaither songs, or trio, or band, or whatever you call it. But this is how Gloria Gaither puts it about the name of Jesus. Jesus, the mere mention of his name can calm the storm, heal the broken, raise the dead. At the name of Jesus, I've seen hardened men melted, derelicts transformed, the lights of hope put back into the eyes of a hopeless child. At the name of Jesus, hatred and bitterness turned to love and forgiveness. Argument ceases and homes restored. I've heard of a mother softly breathe his name at the bedside of a child delirious with fever, and I've watched that little body grow quiet and fever brow cool. I've sat beside a dying saint, her body racked with pain, who in those final fleeting seconds summoned her last ounce of ebbing strength to whisper earth's sweetest name, Jesus. Jesus. Emperors have tried to destroy it. Philosophies have tried to stamp it out. Tyrants have tried to wash it from the face of the earth with the very blood of those who claimed it. Yet still it stands. And there shall be that final day when every voice that has ever uttered a sound, every voice of Adam's race shall raise in one mighty chorus to proclaim that name of Jesus. For in that day, friends, in that day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, you see, if it's not just the mere chance that caused an angel one night long ago to say to a Virgin Mary, his name shall be called Jesus. 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 You know, there is just something about that name. There is something about that name of Jesus. I don't know if I've answered your questions that I want to know about the name of Jesus. But all that I can tell you for a fact is that there is something about that name. And that name is not like my name. That name is not like your name. There is something about the name of Jesus. Whatever troubles, whatever challenges, whatever things that we encounter as human beings, whatever we ask, in the name of Jesus, he has told us, he has promised us, he will answer. He will bring it to us. Let's stand up. I don't want to be ignorant of the fact that not all of us make sense of this message. Maybe some of us don't even understand what we are talking about today. But really, there comes a point in time in our lives when all that we are looking for is a lifeline. A lifeline that sometimes no human can be able to bring. Friends, I'm offering you the name of Jesus. I'm offering in the name of Jesus. Jesus, 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 there is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there is something about that name. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there is something about that name. Friends, with your eyes closed, I want you to have a moment of contemplation and ask yourself, what am I going through and why am I going through? Why haven't I invoked the name of Jesus? Jesus, we know there is something about that name. And this afternoon, Lord, there is something that you're doing in the hearts of these men and women that are within my hearing. And I'm praying that, God, you may meet with them at the very point of their needs. I want to invite you, if you feel you're willing, to just lift up your hands and we'll call upon the name of Jesus over your situation. Anyone, if you have anything you'd like us to call upon the name of Jesus for you, and we'll do that with you. God bless you. God bless you. You have requested us, Jesus, you have asked us and told us that if there is anything we want, whatever we ask, you have told us in John 14, that you shall give it to us. This afternoon, Lord, we stand on behalf of our brothers and sisters who are saying that, yes, there are things that are going on in our lives. We want to ask that, Lord, you may meet with them at the very point of their needs. God, is it healing? Is it deliverance? Is it a job? Is it finances? We do not know. But I'm praying, Lord, even as they whisper their needs to you right now, in the name of Jesus, may you meet it, Lord, even as you've asked us to pray, believing. We stand in the gap for them, oh God, knowing that, God, you are able, knowing that you can. God, we've proven you before. We've proclaimed your name before. We've seen you do things beyond even our wildest imagination. And this afternoon, Lord, we are proclaiming and calling upon the name of Jesus because, you know, there is something about that name that humanity cannot even be able to understand. And we are saying that which we cannot understand. May it be real today in these lives that, Lord, are represented, oh God. That faith that is being invoked right now, oh God. May it connect with the heavenlies in the name of Jesus. God, meet with them at the very point of their needs. Answer them speedily. You have said, if we ask whatsoever we shall ask, believing in your name, it shall be done. And we believe right now that it's done in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, it is done. And we receive it because it is done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you and we glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus. There is something about the name of Jesus. Forget everything else that I've told you, but don't forget that there is something about the name of Jesus. You may be seated. God bless you.